You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
All right, man, this Definitive 15.
Oh. Oh, boy.
So, how did we get here, Armand? What are we talking about?
How did we get here?
Yeah.
I text you and asked if we were recording this week.
I mean, well, somebody suggested on Twitter, how did we get to this idea?
Well, yeah, so we had a, and let me shout him out. Let me shout him out. Okay. He had a really, really good idea. But he suggested two things. He suggested, we've been getting a lot of Definitive 15 ideas lately.
Mm.
And so on one hand, it's like, okay, kids are starting to catch the vibe. But also, some of the suggestions, like, I'm not going to say they're not good, but right. I think the problem is like, they're easy. Like, for example, if we do a Definitive 15 on LL Cool J, pretty much know where they're going to land. I noticed that with the Timbaland Definitive 15. A lot of ours, our Definitive 15s, the thing that makes this show the best is when we disagree.
Yeah, with the Timbo one, it's like, we all know we're going to talk about the Aaliyah records and we're going to talk about, you know, there's some easy ones.
Okay, so you know what? The idea, the thing that the suggestion that the person made,
yeah.
And this is Jordan Willis, he actually did not suggest discographies.
Okay.
He suggested hip hop moments, and he suggested album/mixtapes not available on streaming services, which I thought was crazy.
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah. But I feel like somebody said discography. So when you said that,
It was definitely mentioned online somewhere. So shout out to our listeners. The idea of doing a Definitive 15 for discographies, initially I was like, yeah. Perfect.
Yep.
And then I sat down to do the work.
Yep.
And I was like, wait a minute.
Yep.
What do you mean by definitive?
What do you mean?
Because it's, so normally, you know, so if this is your first time listening, this is the way that we normally do Definitive 15s is it's about an artist or a producer. And the idea is you have 15 songs to introduce that person's work to somebody who's never heard them before. Discography is a little different. I guess it would be someone's never listened to hip hop before somehow. And you have 15 discographies to introduce them. That's one way to approach it.
Mm-hmm.
Another way to approach it might just be, what are the 15 best discographies?
Mm-hmm.
Or what are the 15 essential discographies?
Mm-hmm.
Much like an MVP award, there's a lot of ways to slice definitive.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a lot of questions about, like, what do you even define as a definitive discography, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
So I think there was a couple different ways that I was trying to figure out how I wanted to slice these, and I'm going to name them. I'd be curious if you were doing it the same way or if you had a different take on it. So I think one way you could look at it is like one thing you could do is you could say, I really value long-term consistency.
Mm-hmm.
I think one way you could value is, sure, long-term consistency is great, but what I'm looking for is like a cluster, like a run.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for like 2-3, whatever your number is, I'm looking for a run of like incredible work.
Mm-hmm.
I think another way to look at it might be, you know, I'm looking for like a really long career, and what I want to see is like, oh, they were relevant and had a great project here, and then in the middle of their career and at the end of their career, like they didn't fade out. Like they were still, you know, like they had notable timeless records that like transcended decades, right? That's one mm-hmm. way you could look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Another way you could look at it is maybe they didn't have the longest career, but there was no duds, right? Mm-hmm. It was just boom, boom, boom. And then, you know, that's it. But it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Were there any other ways that you sort of thought about this?
No, I think you got everything.
Okay.
You got everything.
I can't say I used all those, right? Because I think, so let me ask you this. Out of those ways, were there any ways that you found more compelling than others?
No, I think the easiest ones were consistency and I guess consistency in different ways. Like, I think it was like the impact which was different.
Mm.
Everybody that I was like pretty much sold on from top to bottom, they have great discographies. Some people would sort of be dark horses because they're more lauded in the underground. So it may not necessarily be Billboard chart topping, you know, platinum plaques. I haven't heard that phrase in a while. But maybe it's just a maybe it's just a group or an artist that hip hop can count on, or they've curated an audience that is diehard because they know when this person drops, it means something and it makes ripple effects outside of their circle. So it may not necessarily be, you know, you may not get like the most coverage or whatever. You may not get a Grammy nod, or you might get a Grammy nod. Some of these people got the we're looking out Grammy nod. You're not going to win, but you know, we know what you do. But even then it was hard because there was a lot of people that I don't listen to, but those ripple effects made me say, what about this person? And there's songs of theirs that I like. There may be eras of this person that I like. But I know that they have diehards, and that their diehards would say, well, they're being consistent. And the output of that would denote like that they can make a point. They can make a case for it. And I kind of wanted to think outside of what I like. Mm. But it was still hard. I'm not going to front, like, spoiler alert, I didn't get the 15.
I have more than 15 names. I have a lot of question marks.
Yes.
I'll say that for me, long-term consistency, if it's an artist who's very consistent long-term, but doesn't have a couple of like incredible like classics in there, I don't know. They're not really on my list. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So let's just name names, right? I'll name somebody who I doubt's on your list, but who I think some people might say, oh, that person's consistent. So like Busta Rhymes.
Yes.
Long career.
Yep.
A decade of consistency.
Yep.
Not on my list.
Yeah.
Right. Because he was certainly like an A-list rapper during that time, but like he was never like one of the guys.
Yeah, he was.
Nah.
Okay, what do you mean by one of the guys? Kendrick, yeah, Jay,
he
Nas.
Was never okay. on that level.
No. He was in the room.
And he never had a classic.
Yeah, he was in the room, though. He'd get invited to the party.
Sure. There's a lot of dudes who've been in that. A lot of people who've been in that room.
Yeah, he'd be in the room.
All right. So, like, that's an example of somebody. You know, I think another one, like, a short, like, and this was the hardest one was, like, what I would say is a short career with no duds.
Yes.
That's tough. That's tough.
I think the obvious person who fills that category is Notorious B.I.G.
That's right. I didn't know what to do with Biggie.
Yeah, like he's on my list, but then I was like, is he?
Do you want to start talking about that, or do you want to go down the ones that we think are definitive first?
We can start with what's definitive.
All right. You want to go first?
I'll cheat.
Okay.
Kanye.
Number one on my list.
Yeah. Like the first person easily to just, yeah, easy.
Yeah. I've made this claim on the show before that I think he has the best discography in hip hop. Like it's pretty wild. Start in 2004 and then, you know, you can end up where you think you want to end up, but like by any one of these like ways that you can count it, like incredibly consistent, lots of like classic albums. He's put together runs. Like no matter what kind of Kanye fan you are and how you view his career, like it's pretty hard to not put him on this list.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Did you factor in any of his mixtapes into there?
No, not really. I mean, I don't
think... Can't Tell Me Nothing.
Because to me, the best stuff, with a couple exceptions, most of the best stuff on his mixtapes were always teasing what was about to come out, right? I think his earlier stuff, right? The stuff that, you know, that didn't make College Dropout, maybe that. But like, I don't think of him as an artist who's like got all this unreleased stuff that's amazing. But then I was listening, you know, I went back, I listened to Good Friday records. You know, I listened to, you know, I shared this, all the stuff in Dropbox with you. Like since 2015, he has quite a catalog of unreleased music that like fans are quietly collecting online. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know, the latter portion of his career is really like, it's really weird. Really weird, really interesting, but like he put in so much work, like it almost doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I guess the question is like, is there a point at which he starts to harm his legacy?
Yeah, because you have some artists. So let's take somebody like a there's a couple people that fit this category.
Yeah.
Redman, T.I. Some people would put Ghostface in that category. Ice Cube, guys who have long runs of great hip hop albums.
Yeah.
And then once they get older, or, you know, the type of music changes, there's a significant fall off. Do you factor in, you know, do you cut it off? Like how we deal with Eminem with his retro. We stopped after Encore because we just weren't going to do that to ourselves. You know, the first four projects are so, they're captivating, be it good or bad. They're still captivating and were worth a discussion. Right. But, you know, once you get to that, the T.I. album that they put out while he was in jail, was it No Mercy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you get there and anything he's put out since then, it's just like, it doesn't touch trap music and King and Urban Legend and things like that.
You might be higher on his career than I am.
I am.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm cool with that. T.I.'s first five albums are really good to classic. He's got two classics in there. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
You can't, some people, okay. So, some people will say I'm Serious is a regional classic. I have trap music as a classic. King is 100% a classic. Like, we're not, like, we cannot argue King is a classic.
It's not a classic.
Oh, no. It's 100. No. It's a, that is a great album and it's a classic. And some people would have, what was the one that had Swagger Like Us and Live Your Life and
Paper Trail?
Yeah. Some people have that as a classic. Not to me.
I think people throw the term classic around a lot.
No, stop it. Stop it right now.
Okay. Okay. I'm trying to save because we got some ones we're going to argue about. So let's get some of these easy ones out of the way.
Okay.
Outkast.
Yeah, easy.
Easy.
But they kind of fit in that category too.
How so?
Some people would say from Stank On You On Down, Sharp Turn.
I mean, Stank On You is their best album.
And you just said King's not a classic in Stank On You. You just said that within a 2-minute span.
Stank On You is so much better than King, I don't even know where to begin.
No, it's not. Stank On You is a terrible album. It's a terrible album. Aquemini is eons better. AT Aliens is eons better.
You don't even like AT Aliens that much.
Exactly.
So, all right, hold on. I'm looking at this track list for Stank On You right now, all right? Gasoline yep. Dreams.
Nope.
Dope. So Fresh, So Clean.
Classic, but I never need to hear it again.
Miss Jackson.
Classic, but I never need to hear it again.
The problem, here's an interesting problem with you in this album. The singles are so strong and iconic, you downgrade it.
That's fine because the rest of the album is terrible. I still said it's classic. I just don't need to hear it, but
Spaghetti
I understand
Junction,
why. It's, nope.
Humble Mumble.
Nope.
Red Velvet.
Yep.
Gangsta-ish.
Nope.
Slum Beautiful.
Nope.
Oh.
I'm E-40 right now.
Nope. Anyway, I think Outkast is, even if you don't, right, if you, I don't know. I guess it's a question of like, how many classics in a row do you need before you're like, yeah, they're on this list.
Yeah, classic. At worst, great albums.
Right.
Yeah, at worst. Right. Yep. Right. Yep.
All right.
But yeah, Outkast, to me, they're still on the list because their first three, and I mean, even counting my bias with Stank On You, Stank On You and freaking The Love Below, like, come on.
The Love Below is incredible.
The Love Below is a fantastic album. It is. But like, even with those, like, if I don't like Speaker Box, sure, whatever. Like, no, the albums that are high are really, really high, like monumentally high. So they're, even though they may fit in that other category of the drop off, the high is too high.
Okay. You're next up. What do you got?
I'm going to keep cheating because I don't feel like, I don't feel like cheating. I got Kendrick.
He was a question mark for me. I think this is a good one to talk about.
Okay.
How many classics does he have?
Two.
Go ahead.
No, you got it.
I was going to say his 2012 to 2017 run. Now I like Damn a lot more than you do.
Mm-hmm.
To me, his 2012 to 2017 run. That's a pretty crazy 5-year run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's Good Kid. That's Pimp a Butterfly, Untitled Unmastered, and Damn. Untitled Unmastered is incredibly uneven, right? But that's like, there's a lot of rappers that we grew up on who we think of as having legendary careers who do not have better 5-year runs than that.
Correct.
Is that a better 5-year run of albums than Jay ever put together? Maybe not.
I would say different era.
That's a better 5-year era than Nas ever put together.
Different era. I wouldn't put those runs together because we didn't expect an album from Jay every year.
He did it though.
Every year?
96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, okay, 2001, you're right. 2003. He did every year for 7 years.
You're right. You're right. Jigga held you down 6 summers then. Okay. You're right.
Where's
the
love?
You're right. You're right. And I still think that, and I also think the expectations were different. I don't know. It just doesn't seem right comparing the two. I would just compare eras to eras. So I would say, does Drake have a better 5-year run than Kendrick?
Yeah, Drake.
Because Drake's on my list too.
I have Drake as a question mark.
Okay.
Because again, it's like they haven't fallen off yet.
Yeah.
And with Drake, arguably his singles are more important than his albums.
Yeah, I would say his album, at this point, I think people don't care about his albums because I think everyone's reconciled the belief that he'll never put out a classic. Views was supposed to be it. Scorpion was supposed to be it. And people are just like, all right. The singles have just kept him afloat. Well, not kept him afloat. They've been the fuel in his private jet.
Thinking about Kendrick. I guess he should be on my list. Drake, though. I mean, he was a question mark on my list for a reason, right? But it's a heck of a run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess Drake goes on the list. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. I'm cool with those two.
Okay.
I'm going to name one that I'm surprised you didn't name yet. I'm curious to see what you think about this.
Okay.
LL Cool J.
Oh, he's not on my list and he should be.
So
he should be on a question mark.
He's got some duds.
Every other album.
He's got some duds. But relevant, very relevant in 3 very different eras.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's saying something. And it wasn't like the Jay way of, well, some days, some of it was.
Right.
It was like the, what are the kids doing? Gangsta rap. 14 shots to the dome. It was that. It was some of that. But some of it was just an updated version of things he had already done. He's always going to do the girl record. He's always going to have the braggadocious, like the aggressive record. He would just do it in different eras.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I said relevant in 3 eras, but really, like, I'm like, there's a big difference between like 85 LL Cool J and Mama Said Knock You Out LL Cool J.
Absolutely.
Very different sounds, which is very different than Mr. Smith.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is very different than, like, we'll say Love You Better LL Cool J.
Was that 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 10, yeah. Oh, girl. Oh, girl. Hey, girl, I want to rock your world. Oh, boy. All right, I'm done. My bad. I'm sorry.
Because when I was going through this list, initially I had producers on here as well, which made it kind of confusing. I was like, no, I'm taking them off. Because, like, if you're talking producers, like, Rick Rubin's on this list. His 80s run alone gets him on the list. Really? I would say Bomb Squad would go on the list as well. Not my era, but I can't deny it.
I don't know about the list though. They Bomb Squad might get an honorable mention because they had a really short run, right? That's 80. It's 88 to 91, right?
It's, I mean, oh, it's honestly like it's what they did for Public Enemy and then what they did for Ice Cube alone. Like maybe that's a short run, but that's iconic.
Sure, sure. I'm rolling with that.
But anyway, so yeah, LL Cool J. I mean, he's an example of like super long career, managed to stay relevant. Because, like, Mr. Smith was, at the time, he was seen as, like, oh, he's kind of the old guy now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was in 95.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's still stuck around.
Mm-hmm.
Back in an era when rappers just faded away.
What was the end of the LL Cool J era? Was that Accidental Racist?
Oh, no. He was really... That was, like, the nail in the coffin. I mean, you...
What was the dream record?
When did LL start making TV shows? Like... No, I'm sorry. I mean, when was he on CSI? Was it CSI? NCIS.
NCIS?
When did he start going
like
on?
That was like
09.
Dang, I was going to say 02. Okay, sure, 09.
That's probably about the end, right?
Oh, it was called Baby. Yeah. I'm just trying to think, like, what was the last, like, hit single for LL?
Oh, it's been a while. I'm looking up his trip. His discography is really long. Hold up.
LL.
Oh, no.
See you, Jay. Oh, yeah. Radio Y'all think they can handle this one, man?
Whenever the song tells you to call the radio,
yeah,
it's the, hey guys, we need this to work. All right, I'm not playing the rest of that.
You know who wrote that for LL?
Who, Papoose?
50 Cent.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. 50 Cent was supposed to, I'm using air quotes, executive produce this album. So you know what happened there.
He made it.
Right. Oh man, I'm just looking at the list of producers. This is a very 2008 situation right now.
Okay.
We got multiple Ryan Leslie songs. Ilphonics. Yeah. I forgot about Ilphonics.
Okay.
Street Runner.
Okay.
A lot of other names I've never heard of in my life. This is, you know what this is? Because I'm seeing names of people who like, I would like, with like co-production credits, who I would like be at beat battles with in New York. This reeks of like beats that people would go and submit, like myself, would go and submit to labels. That's what's happening with that album.
Mm-hmm.
What happened on the previous album? Oh, Control Myself. No, that's not good.
Control Myself.
That's Jennifer Lopez. It's the African Bambaataa beat because Jermaine Dupri produces it.
No, man. No, man. Yeah. What? What?
Was it Headsprung?
Okay. Well, yeah, because Paradise is on the same album as Love You Better. Is that the one after?
That's it. I think that's it. I think that's the last. That's the last like real like LL Cool J thing. But that, you know.
Touch it. Why don't you? Touch it. Why don't you? And your boy produced it.
Pharrell, I know. There's a lot of Pharrell beats on here.
That beat was kind of dope too. It wasn't bad.
Everybody thought that Pharrell was singing the hook on Love You Better.
He did, because he did.
Mark Dorsey like, did.
Yeah, and right. Mark Dorsey is doing his best Pharrell demo impression. What was that other 10 Million Stars? You remember that?
Yeah, that was dope. I remember the first time I heard that on a mixtape. I was like, oh.
K-Slay, he hosted it. LL Cool J hosted a K-Slay mixtape. He rhymed over Dead Presidents and bodied it. And we were like, whoa. And then the street single to Love You Better, I believe, was 10 Million Stars.
Yeah.
10 Million Stars was dope. Yeah, I'm rolling. I'm rolling with LL's discography. You make a good point.
It's wildly inconsistent, but he really stayed around for an incredibly long time.
Yeah.
All right, I got another one I think is unimpeachable.
Okay, please.
Let's just get out of the way. Jay-Z.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's on the list.
Yeah, I think my problem with Jay is not even my problem. Like, I had a discussion with somebody about like him being the greatest ever, and it's just like when it comes down to it, like Jay just is just high on all of the categories. Like, he may not necessarily be one. Like, he doesn't have the greatest discography ever, but like he's top four. Top three, top five at worst in like all of the GOAT categories. It's just like nobody else does that, so he kind of gets it.
He's leading the league in at least six statistical categories right now.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I'm rolling. I think it's just because outside of like his great albums, he just has all of his albums run into the same problem. We've talked about this at length.
Yeah, they're inconsistent for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just too much work there.
Yeah, sure.
It's like comparing like. It's kind of like LeBron's career to a certain degree, right? Where it's just like after a while, the totality of it, the numbers add up and you're like, all right, you know, did he win as many finals as this person? Maybe not. But like when you do it for so long and you have so many numbers and yeah, you've got some titles too, you're just like, the numbers overwhelm you, right?
Yeah. It's amazing that LeBron people considered last year a down year for LeBron. And he averaged like 28, 29, 8 and 7 or something like that.
Right.
That's a down year. That's crazy. Yeah, I'm rolling.
All right.
I'm rolling.
Who else you got on your list?
I don't know. Like, I'm scared to list all of these. Yeah.
No, go ahead. Now comes the fun stuff. We're getting closer. Okay. I got a couple more. I got a few more that I think are just no-brainers.
I think a personal no-brainer is De La.
They were a question mark on my list.
I don't think they have a bad album. Even those AOI albums are like not the best, but they're not trash.
Hold on here.
They got joints. They got some joints on there. But for me, the highs are way too high. 3 Feet High and Rising, Balloon Mind State, De La Soul is Dead, Stakes is High. Like, that's a run.
It is a run. And then they kind of went away for a minute and like reinvented themselves with the AOI records and then the Grind Date.
I would consider the Grind Date the like the return to the essence. Because the Grind Date is a great album to me. I love that album.
It's not great.
Yes, it is.
It is a source for Mike album if I've ever heard one.
Don't do that. You're disrespecting a lot of Four Mike albums. It's 4.5.
No.
If Black Rob Life Story can get 4.5 mics, if The Truth can get 4.5 mics,
let's stop. Okay, The Truth is absolutely a Four Mike album if I've ever heard one.
Yes.
Life Story is way better than The Grind Date.
No, it isn't.
It absolutely. What? It's not even close.
What? No.
Yes.
It's not even close?
No.
Hold on.
I think Life Story is amazing.
What? It's
like...
good.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
It's good.
All right, let's look at this Life Story.
Yeah, let's look it up.
Title track's good.
Yep.
Whoa is classic.
Yep.
Looking at Us is fine.
Nope.
You can skip Down the Line Joint.
Yep.
You can skip, Spacio.
Nah, Spacio was cool.
You Don't Know Me is fire.
Yep.
Can I Live is fire.
Classic.
Then there's Championship Interlude. No. PD World Tour. That's
nope.
Nah. But Muscle Game. So there's some. The middle's not perfect. See? But BR is crazy.
BR is cool.
Oh.
The beat is dope, but the song's not good.
I like Thug Story.
Nah.
Jasmine's cool.
Jasmine's cool.
I Love You Baby's good is great.
I was about to say that's a cheat code though.
Spanish Fly is actually really dope. I Dare You is amazing.
Hey, hold on. Can we go back to Spanish Fly for a second? is that the best hip hop song that J-Lo is associated with?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
Because she has a lot of like people would go with I'm Real, but like
yeah, I'm Real is like wait. So
but that's
I Real
singing,
is the most
though.
Iconic, right?
I Real is the most iconic. Yes. But like, is it the best?
Is Spanish Fly the best Madonna sample ever?
Who else has sampled Madonna?
Justify My Thug. We're gonna go to. This is why Who Sampled was invented. Hold on.
Yes. Yeah, because Jennifer. The only other J Lo song I could think of is "All My Love" with LL Cool J. Time is all you have, baby girl. I'm what you have. Terrible.
Apparently, DJ Khaled's Go Hard samples Madonna's Angel, which I didn't realize.
Nah.
There's a lot of, there's actually more Madonna samples than you might think.
Sure. I can see that.
Yeah. I'm seeing if anything really sticks out here. Mario Winans did a song with Little Flip that samples Papa Don't Preach.
Nah, hold on. Nope. Nope. What's it called?
Never Really Was.
Oh, and it was a single.
Oh no.
Ooh. I like this right here. Mario Winans. Won't take me long.
Hold on. In Madonna's defense, these strings are hard.
Yeah.
Strings are hard.
Yeah.
This bad boy, baby. I gotta get this off my chest. Yo, little flip. Half the time I'm on the grind. Now you wanna play with my mind.
Right.
You wonder why we never spending time.
Yeah.
Don't you know I get paid to rhyme? Yeah. I took you out the hood and I laced you up. Now you a cover girl, I had to make you up. You moved
okay.
In my
oh no. You know, it was better when they kept it as like the more R&B it got, the worse it got.
I think it was the other way around.
Like to me, with those strings on it, that's what made it good. I didn't need to hear Mario Winans crooning.
I didn't mind Mario. I didn't like Flip on it.
Wow.
I actually didn't mind Mario slowing it down.
This is why you and I have different ways of approaching music. All right. And then the Grind Date. This is, you're like, I'm listening to Clock Radio Speakers and they're spending their time talking about the Grind Date versus Life Story. Two arbitrary distinctions.
Yes.
You know, there's some good Dilla beats on here. Right? Much More is
See, we're just going to stop right there.
Much More is fine.
Are you kidding
Verbal Clap is better.
Not better.
Yeah.
The Future's dope. Verbal Clap is dope. Much More is dope. Shopping Bags is The Grind Date is fire. Church is fire. It's Like That is dope. He Comes is dope. Days of Our Lives is dope. Come On Down is trash. Know is, all right, Rock Cocaine Flow is amazing. Look at that consistency.
You overrated a lot of songs in the middle there.
No, I didn't.
Much More is, fine. Verbal, like, I listen to this, if I put this album on, I'm listening to Verbal Clap, Grind Date, and Rock Cocaine Flow, and that's it.
You bugging.
Rock Cocaine Flow is amazing.
It is.
Yeah. But anyway, De La Soul, interesting case, right?
Yeah.
It's why they were a question mark on my list, for sure. I get it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, if that's what we argue about with De La Soul, it's going to be...
Yeah, I'm scared. Honestly, dude, I'm scared to list these other ones that aren't.
Well, hold on. You listed De La Soul before Tribe?
Tribe is right after. To me, they go together. They're to me, their discographies are forever interlocked because it's the same thing, but De La Soul has a great album later in their career and Tribe does not.
I think that's right. I mean, there's going to be people who are yelling right now because they think that the De La Soul album, I'm sorry, the Tribe album from 2016 was great, but
yeah, they're and there's people, I mean, as we get older, there are people who enjoy Beats, Rhymes, and Life and the Love Movement. And those albums had some joints, but it was a distinct fall off from their first three.
I think Beats, Rhymes, and Life is like one of the most misunderstood albums.
Mm, I haven't heard it in a long time, but I absolutely love it.
It's aged so well.
See, and that's probably due to Dilla, because I loved Stressed Out. And I loved Once Again.
Yeah.
Singles from there for me at that time were phenomenal. Like those are the records that like made me a Tribe fan. I wasn't crazy about Tribe when I was younger and I would see the Oh My God video.
I think Tribe's run in the early 90s is like to me a step above De La Soul's run.
I'm not mad at that. I think they probably did more. I say they did more.
I think it's funny, right? Because like, and to get really specific, like Low End Theory and Midnight Marauders is like, it's pretty hard to find a back-to-back combo of albums in anybody's discography that's as good as those two albums.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
Graduation and Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Well, 808's is in the middle.
Oh, well, there you go.
I was gonna say, people might argue something from Kanye's discography somewhere. I mean, maybe maybe Biggie, right? Ready to Die, Life After Death. Maybe.
I've got some artists that are kind of, their discographies are under the radar, and you could say that there are two that are better or just as good. But
yeah, I mean, but those two are like upper echelon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. I still got a couple no-brainers. Well, actually, can we just, so we got to get this out of the way. What are we doing with Wu-Tang?
Not on my list, not a question mark, because that goes down to labels and crews. So I had Bad Boy, Death Row, Cash Money, No Limit, G-Unit, Diplomats, Wu-Tang, like... Do you put them on this list? Because, you know, they were a collective, but they put out music individually as well.
Yeah.
There are G-Unit albums, but there's also a 50 Buck Banks Yayo solo albums.
To me, I think Wu-Tang was much more of a united sound. And like, sure, they started as the group. I think that kind of matters.
Sure.
But I hear that. I understand that. So let's just say Wu-Tang doesn't count, but individuals from Wu-Tang might.
Yeah, because Ghostface is on my maybe list.
He is 100% on my list. I think his discography is crazy underrated. So
what did he do after Bulletproof Wallets?
I don't even care what he did after Bulletproof Wallets, to be honest with you.
You don't care because his first two albums are two of your favorite albums ever, right?
Well, so he co-stars on Cuban Links, which I'm not going to give him full credit for, but he gets a nod.
Okay.
Right?
That's one of your favorite albums ever, too.
Iron Man is ridiculous.
Yep.
Supreme Clientele is ridiculous.
Yep. It's better than Iron Man.
Mm,
yep. Trying to rattle your cage.
Trying to rattle my cage. Bulletproof Wallets, as is, was pretty good. And what should have been, would have been his third classic in a row.
Yep. Agree.
I
said, you didn't throw that in Dropbox. I still need that.
I need to, you know what? I gotta like put that together in a better way.
Okay.
Honestly, I went back, you know what? I went back and listened to a Pretty Tony album today.
Was that Tush?
It's Tush. Aside from Tush.
Okay.
It's actually like a pretty good album.
What is this, Run?
This is Run. This Run is Holla. This is
Holla's, he raps over the Delphonics,
yeah,
right?
It's Metal Lungies. It's
I don't remember.
Beat the Clock, Biscuit. Like, there's a lot of stuff on here. I was like, okay.
Was that the album that, what was that Ghostface and Capadonna song that was on mixtapes, but they didn't clear it? It wasn't Good Times. It was another,
Well, and this is the other thing about him. I mean, so he has an incredible unreleased song discography.
Does that play a role?
To me, it does.
Okay.
But, I'm willing to hear arguments otherwise.
Yeah, are we looking at mixtapes? Because then, not to overlook Ghostface,
yeah,
but Wayne is on my question mark list for that very reason.
Yeah, we'll get to Wayne in a second.
Okay.
Oh man.
But let's continue and let's give Ghost his flowers.
Oh man. Like, I'm looking like The Watch, The Sun.
I still need to wrap up with The Watch. Dang it.
Good Times.
I can sneak that in the snooze.
The original mix of Flowers.
Yep. Strawberries.
Oh, Strawberries, my God.
I even like Never Be the Same Again, because I'm a sad.
That's a terrible song.
No, it's what?
It's a terrible song.
Doc.
I prefer Ghost Showers to Never Be the Same Again.
Ghost Showers, the whack. I was going to say the whack. The hook was whack on Ghost Showers. Verses were cool. I hate the hook.
Wait, Strawberries didn't make the retail version of Bulletproof Wallets?
Yeah, it did.
Oh,
it
there
did.
It is. My bad. No, I was about to wait a minute.
I don't know if Drake had the boom. He might have.
But no, Bulletproof Wallets should have been. But, okay, Sample Clearances, get that out. To me, by Fish Scale, it all starts to kind of go off a little bit. Fish Scale is wildly inconsistent.
Okay.
But I don't know. Like, that first run is it's pretty crazy to me. So I think he's on the list.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like, there's going to be a lot of artists on here where it's like, because the theory of like this sort of, if you think about artists who have a cluster and then who have a lot of other consistent stuff around that, because like, yeah, it's not my favorite stuff, but like, Fish Scale, More Fish, Big Doe Rehab, like he's got this string of albums that are, they're fine after, but they're not terrible. You know what I mean? Like he's got this string of stuff, like, but he has this cluster that is, to me, kind of an incredible cluster.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's some other artists I have question marks next to, and, we'll see what we say about that. Because we haven't mentioned yet?
Who is that?
Let's talk about your man, Nasir Jones.
100% not on my list.
He's a question mark for me.
Not even a question mark.
I feel like I had to put him as a question mark out of respect because it's Nas. But, I mean, when you look at the discography, it's rough.
Mm-hmm.
After 99, it gets really rough.
Mm-hmm.
But, obviously, like, I don't have to say, like, Illmatic, it was written. I mean, I don't know how y'all feel about I Am. I mean, if you're not a Patreon exclusive subscriber, let me tell you, you should become one, if only to hear us break down what could have been with a ridiculous Patreon exclusive episode talking about what could have been the original two disc version of Nas's I Am. But that's not what happened.
It's not what happened.
But you talk about another artist with an incredible unreleased catalog, right? Because he had similar issues with Untitled.
Mm-hmm.
He's still making music.
Mm-hmm.
It's 25 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's a longevity plus classics argument you could make. But if we're being honest, Nas has not been he's tried. Like there have been big, like quote unquote big Nas album. You know what I mean? Like, they try with Life is Good. Life is Good is not very good. Life is Good is fine.
It's solid.
It's solid. But that comes out 18 years after his debut. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. If LL's on the list, why not Nas?
Because I think his lows are more damaging to his career.
That's right. I think the perception matters.
Yep.
Because Nas's highs are so high.
Correct. Correct. And I think for a lot of us, like, I don't know how many fans who aren't older, maybe like in their 40s, who have really high highs when they think of LL's discography.
I think that's right. I mean, I think I'm definitely in that category where like, I'm like, wow, I actually went back and listened. I was like, it's kind of incredible that he was relevant in all these different eras.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, the first 12 inch I had was I'm Bad. The first single, but also the first album I had was Mr. Smith. That album is solid. But the first album that I wanted from LL was GOAT.
Mm.
And I really, really like that album. But I know I'm alone in that. And that's okay. Because it's a 2000s Def Jam album. It's a little different.
Anything else you want to say about Ghostface?
Nah, you're good.
All right. Who do you got? Now we're into the question marks.
Lots and lots of question marks. Okay, so let's have a conversation about, so there's a group of artists that I have.
Yeah.
That, for me, they have extremely consistent discographies. And maybe one of them in particular has a discography that has really high highs, and then like the lows aren't really low, but they're nowhere near the highs. So I'm going to name three people, and I'm wondering if you can maybe find somebody that kind of equates to more your speed, because I know you don't like two of these three groups of artists.
Okay.
So I got Lil Brother, I have Sky Zoo, and I have Joe Budden. Now, in talking about them, I'm thinking about artists that have like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a niche fan base.
Yeah.
That will really ride for all three of those artists or those groups of artists. Now, when you get to your average hip hop fan, they might have heard a song or two, but they're not really racing to the store to get the new Joe Budden album or the new Lil Brother album. But those who love them absolutely love them. And I've been huge fans of all three of those guys. Even admiring the fact that they have been able to do them, find a pocket, and just like work the mess out of that pocket for, shoot, Skyzoo's been making music since 2003, 2004?
Yeah.
That's 15 years. Lil Brother's got over 10 years. Joe Budden's got 15 years. Like, that's saying something. You got anybody like that for you?
Well, I was going to comment on those three first, actually.
Sure, sure.
So, I'm surprised. Instead of Lil Brother, I'm surprised you didn't specifically mention Fonte.
See?
Because if you want to give him, you know, because you can give him credit for the Lil Brother stuff, but then I know you're a bigger fan of his solo work than I am.
Yeah.
Whereas
he's got two personal classics.
Right, right. And so like I could see how like you would say that, yeah, actually Fonte has an incredible discography. I think Lil Brother as a group's discography is, well, I don't know.
Yeah, because then you could also count, okay, I see your Fonte point, because you could also count the foreign exchange stuff.
Right. Right. And if you're a Fonte fan, that's a pretty compelling argument.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed.
I think Sky Zoo is fantastic example of like, do you value long-term consistency?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's 100% consistent for what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he has like a classic album, but I'm not a huge Sky Zoo fan either.
He has, God, I wonder what artist, he's him and Elzai are going
to
be here on the 24th.
And you're going really curious, right?
Number 100, my birthday's the next week? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wonder what people would say is Sky's classic. It would have to be, I was about to say the marathon. Whoops. The Salvation, Cloud Nine, his joint with Ninth, and maybe A Dream Deferred. Maybe. I don't know. I'm curious. If you're a Sky Zoo fan, like hit me up or hit up at CRS Podcast. Let me know if you're a Sky Zoo fan, if he has any classics, and if so, what are they? Because I'm not sure.
I've got some other names in mind that maybe not quite as, actually, you know what? Somebody who just popped in my head, and it's not somebody I would have ever thought about, but he has an interesting career.
Okay.
Master Ace.
I saw, when I was doing research, I saw a lot of people mention him.
Really two, almost like two distinct careers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's got like the, you know, he's got the, like the cold chilling era.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got really like the combo, the back, the sort of disposable arts slash long hot summer combo.
What would you call the INC era? Would you call that?
Oh no, you're right. Culture. You're right. And then that's
it's like sitting on chrome.
Yeah, that era. That's a whole other era too.
Mm-hmm. That's three eras.
Right, and he's definitely like under. I mean, he is for sure underground. But like, that's an interesting career. He is like really super unappreciated as in hip hop.
Yeah.
Oh man, I used to love that Long Hot Summer album.
Yeah, you did.
Oh man, I mean, Good Old Love, obviously, but like that's Soda good. And Soap, Hood. Oh man, I loved all these. I'm looking at these producers right now, and I was like, oh man, 2004, what a time to be alive.
Oh yeah, you were basking in it. You were Scrooge McDuckin instead of backstroking and money, NPCs and samples.
Oh man, burn CDRs if we're being honest.
There we go. Yes.
I got some other names I want to get into. Oh, please. Oh, the other thing I want to say. So Joe Budden, he strikes me as someone with a really inconsistent career.
You know, okay, finish, and I'm going to retort that.
No, I mean, that's my statement. It's okay. A very incredibly inconsistent career.
I think Joe is somebody who has what a lot of artists don't have, he has foresight that a lot of artists don't, and he did not have the resources, and maybe he didn't have the attitude to really maximize on that foresight. You look at somebody like a Kanye. Kanye was smart enough, or at least he had smart enough people around him to say, okay, you're a genius, but we need to get you in these rooms with these artists. You need to make this so we can like really bottle your genius and present it to the world as something that's easily digestible. Joe just kind of like, God, he's like the goofy cousin that just couldn't get it right. You saw the potential, but he hit his head a lot trying to showcase his potential. And I think now he's flourishing because it's like, you know, like the industry kind of caught up to him. What, you know, he was the first person live streaming and playing music early. He was the, you know, he was the first person that signed an all to, that signed to a strictly digital record label and did not put out physical copies of his album until much later. So many things that he did that just people weren't even thinking. He was the first person to embrace the internet. And along with, you know, Questlove on a, well, Questlove OK Player was like a site, but Joe Budden had a website just for him and his fans, and a forum that was just for him and his fans. So, but because all that stuff, that technology hadn't been fleshed out all the way, like it just didn't look right. And maybe the ideas were better than the execution. And I also think that Joe is somebody who focused on words more than music. So for somebody who maybe does, who values maybe like musicianship more than lyricism, they're going to look at his discography sort of like you do, sort of in an up and down way. The mixing is bad at times. The beats are bad at times. Nobody wants to hear you rap for 10 minutes. Like all those things come into play. But yeah, I don't know.
I think part, yeah, I think you, I mean, to me, you talked a lot about kind of his impact, mm-hmm. which to me is different than the discography. Mm. Like, I don't know, to me, like, he just doesn't have the records. I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends, like, if you look at it, how do you feel about that Mood Music run? Because that's arguably sort of his peak as a, like, that's when he's in his prime, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But as you pointed out, like, you know, I think he flourishes in a different era. For sure.
I think that's why he's flourishing now.
Right. But I mean, like musically, like, you know, if streaming exists in 2004, he's just a different artist.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
He doesn't need Def Jam.
Absolutely. He's indie. He's Crit before Crit. He's a lot of that era of guys that we really liked, like Pac Div, like a lot of those artists that were just like a year or two too early.
Yeah.
Blue Exile, like those guys.
Yeah.